As always, we're glad that you're here today and glad that you're here for a special day. We call this place home because this is a family. And, of course, we understand and recognize that it goes beyond these doors, and particularly today it goes down even to the nation of Haiti and those relationships that are shared back and forth. And that's just an incredible thing. I do want to say, as I frequently do at this point in time, especially when we have something special going on, you could be visiting with us today and feel like, well, I just got totally missed. And we don't want that to be the case at all. If you have a special need that you'd like to have known today, my contact information is in that bulletin, and I'd be glad to serve as the gatekeeper for any need that you might have today. It always makes me a little bit uncomfortable when I'm around those real public wedding proposals. You're at an NBA game and something happens there. Maybe it's one of the cheerleaders, or maybe it's the kiss cam moment or whatever kind of deal. And I'm always worried that the lady's going to say no. By 99% of the time, that doesn't happen, but I've seen those videos of when it does. And, you just think about those two little words. There's yes, and there's no. There's not very much, in terms of size, they're both small. But what a crossroads moment that is. She says yes, and life changes dramatically. She says no, and life is sad or unhappy or all those kind of things. And I mention that today because the passage that we look at today is from James chapter 5. We're moving straight on through toward the end of the book of James. James says simply in James chapter 5, verse 12, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear." He's not talking about swearing the way we would refer to swearing. He's talking about making oaths, as we'll see here in just a minute. "Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." Now, you might read that and think, well, where did James hear that? Well, it's real easy. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, and we will in just a couple of seconds, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is going to make almost the same statement. Now, some people say, well, was James at the Sermon on the Mount? And there are Bible scholars who make a real big deal out of this and in some way try to find a way to say that James really isn't giving information. He couldn't possibly have been at the Sermon on the Mount. He wasn't even a believer during that point in time, and try to point out some kind of inconsistency in Scripture. And as I mentioned many times before, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving foundational Christian principles. Does it make any sense that he only mentioned them one time? He probably would have mentioned them over and over again. And it's not beyond the realm of possibility that James could have been at the Sermon on the Mount. But the truth is, at some point in time, James heard his brother say, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 33. This is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill the Lord's vows you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black." Well, let's change a little bit. All you need to do is simply say yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. They lived in a time where this swearing business, these oaths, had gotten out of control. Jewish society, was very much dictated by this entire process. And Jesus just laying that all aside. I think if we were looking for a parallel in our day, it would be this litigation society that we have. Everybody's getting sued by everybody else, and everybody's afraid of getting sued. And really, the solution is pretty much the same. Jesus says, say yes and say no. Now, it's a pretty simple philosophy. Say what you mean and mean what you say. That was my grandfather's world. And you come along and you say, well, it's not that way anymore. It's not. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be that way in our homes. And it should. It means that it should be that way not only at home, but it should be that way in our church family as well. Where people believe that what our answers are is going to be real. It's a great opportunity to participate in the work in Haiti. It's an opportunity today to say yes or say no. One of the things that Ken mentioned just a little bit ago in our Bible class together is the need for people to sponsor children. There's a large number of children that are already being sponsored. But there's an opportunity to do that, and that'd be a wonderful thing to do, a wonderful thing to honor the healthy children in your life, the well-fed children in your life, by taking care of or contributing to the care of a child in Haiti. And it's very easy to do, and the people there are very, very nice, and they work with you very, very effectively, and I just can't say enough about that. There's the power of yes. Don't you love it when somebody says yes? I've been to all these workshops about church involvement, you know, how to get more people involved in church. I can tell you what the number one issue is. Manipulate them. Tell them how powerful they are, how much you need them, how nobody else can do it. You got to build up their ego. You got to get them ego involved. And the scary part about that is there's nothing honest about that process at all. And you come back away from those kind of presentations and say, you know, I'm not sure that I'm interested in. Shouldn't it be that you could go to somebody and say, would you do this? And they say, yeah. Instead of saying, well, if you can't find anybody else, you know, come back and now think about just maybe, or I don't really want to, but I guess I have to. And so we get to that place where we just want to hear somebody say, I'll do it. Yes, you can count on me to take care of this need. You can count on me to stand up in a particular issue. You can count on me not to back away. I'll be willing to say yes. Sometimes we even have people that are referred to as yes men. I went to a big Christmas program one time, and one of the entertainment for the evening was this guy got up and he read Christmas wishes or Christmas requests from the people who were the part of the organization, and this guy who was the big head honcho had a couple of people working for him, and they were known as his yes men. And this MC said from this first yes man, to give me three new ways to say yes to Dr. Smith, and to the second yes man, give me five new ways to say yes to Dr. Smith. And then he said, Dr. Smith's request is give me two new yes men. We can get caught up in that. Just it's an ego process. You know, I don't really want to be challenged. I don't really want to look for information. I'm just looking for somebody who'll always make me feel better by saying yes. Yes is an old word. 900 A.D. is when it makes its appearance, or it could be looked back to at that particular situation. We're not looking for people to hustle or people that you have to persuade, but people who are willing to say, okay, I'll be glad to do that. The other side of the coin, though, is the boundary of no. And you can't say yes to everything. Number one, that wouldn't be moral. If you're open to anything, that's no standard. We have to make decisions about what we're going to do with our lives. We have to make decisions what we're going to do with our time. And there's so many good things out there. It would be nice if you could just say, okay, all is yes. But it doesn't work that way. We have to decide what our boundary is going to be. And it's really good for us if we'll decide that in advance so we can make a plan of what no is going to actually need to be in my life. It's not just about talking, though. It's not about saying yes or saying no. It's really about the application of what we do in our life. In Matthew chapter 21, there's this parable of the two sons. And the father says, go and work in my vineyard. And the first son says, I won't. But after he thinks about it a while, he goes and works. The second son, when he's told to go to work, says, sure, Dad. But he didn't ever show up. And so Jesus asked the question, which one of them did the will of the father? It's a pretty easy answer. It's the one who actually puts things into a place where something happens. We really understand the power of yes. We really pretty clearly understand, I think, the boundary of no, these two extremes. So what causes a problem with this issue? Well, it's what I would describe as the curse of the wishy-washy. I don't know. I'm just not sure. Let me think about it. There's nothing wrong with thinking about something. There's nothing wrong with praying about it. But it can be a dodge, something you just don't want to deal with at that particular moment. Can't help but think of Laodicea from Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus, as he's speaking through John to the seven churches, is critical of them. And he's critical in this way. I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus says, say yes and mean it, or say no and mean it. And then he looks at this church and says, you know, you're just stuck in the middle. You're not really accomplishing anything. You're just a mixture of those two. And more we look and we see the extreme of the people who are willing to say yes and the extreme of the people who are willing to defend the right and the opportunity and the need to say no. But those extremes get smaller and smaller as the middle, this wishy-washy area, gets larger and larger. And it seems to be kind of overwhelming at times. This large middle section that's just literally floating along, going with the tide or the way it feels that day or whatever circumstance that develops at any particular point in time. I mentioned at the beginning, the proposal. You know, the guy who gets down on one knee and proposes to his hopeful potential bride, and she says, I don't know. Let me see who else is interested. And, you know, can you give me 30 days? That's just not the way it works. There's not the motivation. There's not the strength there. There's not the desire there that takes place in that situation. And you have to look at, the situation and the circumstances and all of those critical kinds of things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul kind of defends himself by saying, was I fickle when I intended to do this? When I intended to come to you is what he's talking about. Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? Paul says, now don't classify me in this marshmallowy middle because circumstances caused me to change. I wasn't able to get to Corinth. I wanted to come, but I wasn't able to get there. So don't just automatically classify me in that particular way. What are we really talking about when we talk about the person who can say yes and mean it and the person who can say no and mean it? Truthfully, one thing, maturity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, and then going into verse 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and the craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. We all know people like that. Whatever the latest is, whatever the newest is, whatever's exciting at that particular moment, they're over here in that area. And something else comes along and they're over here. And they're dancing around in that middle all of the time because they're being blown about by every new idea. Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Grow up. And that's our goal. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And that's where he's leading us. And that's certainly where he wants us to go. There are a lot of different complicating factors, and I don't have time to go into all those this morning. But I will jump down to Psalms chapter 103. Sometimes we're really hard on ourselves because our yes doesn't always mean it. Our no isn't always as strong as we'd like for it to be. And I really appreciate this verse. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And then listen to verse 14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we're dust. God, I promised and I let you down. God, I didn't want to do this, but I did. And I think God whispers back to us, I know what you're made of. I made you. And I know that you're weak, and I know that you're going to make mistakes. Satan's saying to us, oh, you've messed up so much, you're not usable to God anymore. And God says, that's not the case. I understand that. And so just because we don't completely measure up to all of our yes, or just because we sometimes make mistakes in the things about that we say no about, doesn't mean that we can't be useful and very important to God. God says yes to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. God says yes to us. And we know that he's able to carry that through because we understand the quality of him and the way he really is. And I think maybe at times we sit in our own lives and say, I want to say yes to God, but I've said yes before and it didn't hold up. Or I said I wasn't going to be this way. And like Paul in Romans, I made a mistake. And so we get kind of gun shy about really being decisive in these situations. I want to say yes to him, but am I strong enough to do that? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. God says, say yes and I'll give you the resources. I'll help you to be the person that you want to be. As I thought about how to end this lesson this morning, I was reminded of the book, She Said Yes. And some of you know that story. Casey Bernal, who was one of the victims of Columbine shooting back in the late 1999. She was asked by one of the shooters if she was a Christian, and she said yes, and he shot her and took her life at that point. If you're familiar with that story, you know that that story has pretty much been debunked. Didn't actually happen. It's not because somebody was lying. It's because these people were under tables in the library and different people heard different things. But as they piece that story back together, they're pretty certain that that didn't actually take place. That doesn't change the quality of that person. It doesn't change the quality of what she had or the kind of person that she was. And as I thought about the fact that, well, you know, that story may not be actually usable anymore. And then the second part of it was, well, has that ever happened? Has there ever been a person that's been asked if they were a believer, if they were a supporter, if they were a follower? That person knowing full well that if they said yes, their life was going to be taken? Yeah. It's happened over and over and over again. Recently, in other nations as a part of this world, in Pakistan and China, places like that, it's happened throughout history. People who had the courage and the strength, in a difficult moment when somebody said, okay, the penalty is going to be very high, will you say yes or will you say no? And out of faith, they said, no, I'm going to say yes. Fortunately for us, there's not many times that that's going to actually be our decision. We get to say yes to God by our actions and our behavior and our service. And we say no to Satan by choosing the things that are right and staying away from the things that we know are going to harm us. This morning, if you need to say yes to God, please do. As you come to those crossroads moments in your life, when you have to decide what's going to happen at this moment, the strength to say yes and to follow through on that is a beautiful thing. This morning, if we could help you in any way, we'd be glad to do that, and we encourage you to make that known as we stand and sing this song together.